When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes you have to know who paved the way for others to have the opportunities they have. You turn television on now, you see black sitcoms all over the place. And, Mike, to hear the news of John Amos passing away today at the age of 84, many of you may know him from Roots, many of us know him from Good Times. This was like one of the first sitcoms to have the success it did in the 70s into the early 80s. It didn't last as long because obviously contract disputes and what happened, but if you don't know the story, this was like one of the first. And now you turn television on and it's like, oh, it's no big deal. It was a big deal. Good Times was. And so to hear this today, sad news, celebrities around the country, you know, reaching out and talking about John Amos and what he meant. But yesterday was a weird day because we lost, obviously, Dikembe Mutombo. We lost Pete Rose. Mike and I didn't know about that until we got home last night. And Kris Kristofferson, I think, passed away yesterday. Just one of those days, man. And then today, John Amos passing away.
And for those who don't know, Carl was talking about, you know, Norman Lear had like all these hit TV series sitcoms on CBS at the time. And he basically went toe-to-toe, John Amos and the writers. And John was like, look, this is not nonsense. This is not how black people live. We're not doing. He would fight over the scripts and they basically killed him off. That's the famous damn, damn, damn scene. He goes to work on the Alaska pipeline. They write him off the show. But and it goes on, and again, in much lighter fare, everyone thinks of the McDowells and the Golden Arcs, not the Golden Arches, and everyone still loves that. And just a very, very likable and lovable character actor that, again, had a great career. But yeah, he passed away. You mentioned Kris Kristofferson. We'll talk more about Pete Rose's legacy coming up in Guy Talk.
Yeah, I think sometimes, Mike, you know, as the generations come along, it's like this is the way it's always been. It ain't always been that way. It's not always been that. And that's why I think it's important to understand some of these guys that set the foundation for some of these other shows to come along and have a chance. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Coming up, we will talk more about our Falcons as they prepare for Tampa. We're going to go behind enemy lines in the 6 o'clock hour, but we got to talk about the Braves, too. And if you're just joining us, the news today is who's starting for the Braves tonight.
Yeah. It's going to be A.J. Smith-Shawver, who was much of his year in Gwinnett. One start against the Cubs all the way back in the spring, Carl, for him. So it's not optimal, but it's what we've got because of how you had to grind because of the tightness of the schedule, the bullpen usage, everything else. So you're going to go with A.J. Smith-Shawver, and Chris Sale's not even on this round of the postseason roster. And a lot of Braves fans, we've just got the full range of emotion from some fans just throwing their hands up and saying, well, again, we'll roll the dice and hopefully somebody can catch fire, and probably obviously more pressure on San Diego since they are the slam dunk favorite in this best of three.
We're going to get more into it. Padres are a tough out. But I think we can challenge him, and I do give us a puncher's chance, even more so. But starting pitching does matter in the playoffs. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk some dogs. All right, Carson Beck knows he's got to be better. He's even talked about it, and we're going to let you hear that in just a second. But, Mike, the four turnovers from the quarterback position alone can't be ignored. So, yes, Georgia came back. Yes, they made it a game. Yes, they showed fight. Yes, all these things. But in these big games, you can't have four turnovers from your QB.
Yeah, there's no moral victories here unless you go out and beat Texas. You come out in a couple of weeks. Now, again, you still got to get past Auburn. Everyone's kind of writing that one off, and that's going to be a tough test because maybe there's going to be some degree of letdown. These are still young men, even though they're semi-professionals in college ball for Georgia. But Carson Beck, you know, we talked a lot about it earlier. And the big picture, too, I mean, look, Bobo, there's always people that are going to get on Bobo's case. But I just felt that, you know, you're come out throwing. I mean, 1, 2, 3. I mean, it was pass, pass, pass. I mean, you could run the football.
Yeah.
I mean, I just felt like when you've seen it, because we've all watched our favorite college or pro team, when the game kind of gets its own inertia, and sometimes the offensive coordinator or the defense coordinator falls victim to it. Do you feel me on that?
I do.
You could have run the football, taken some of the air out of it, but it's almost like all of a sudden, okay, you want a shooting match? Let's go toe-to-toe.
Panic.
And I didn't like it. And hindsight, it wasn't the move.
And I say panic. That may not be the right word, but it did feel a little bit like that. Like, okay, again, you know, you play these scenarios out, right, where, okay, we're down 14, guys. What are we doing? Mm. We're down 21. Until you get into a real game situation, and then the OC starts to go, okay, well, how do we get a splash play? How about just running your offense and getting some rhythm? And getting some timing going. Like, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And it felt like they were reaching for stuff, big things to happen when you didn't need to.
Pass, incomplete pass, pass, pass interference to love it. I mean, we spent all week talking about, you know, Trevor Etienne and the factor that he needs to be in this game. So, in hindsight, would you try to, I mean, no, you're not going to sit there and turn this into like the four corners of football, Carl, but I do think you could have used your strengths and tried to run the football at him.
Hey, let's hear from Kirby Smart, because he said they wanted to make Miro beat them with his arm, but Kirby's like, he didn't have to.
You know, we were going to make Miro throw the ball in the red area to beat us. Well, he didn't have to. He ran around us. You know, we had our best player on him on 4th and 1, and he outran him to the sideline and then turned up and scored. He ran outside of a blitz defense that we got more people than they can block in there, and he ran up what we call a moon sweep outside, and he's a really good football player. He's a really good football player. So, you know, if you could just stop him and not worry about him throwing it, I think you could do it. But when he's throwing it well and they're catching it well, really hard to stop.
Yeah, he is a good football player. I felt like the dogs tackling, specifically between the first half and then you get into the third quarter, was a completely different game. Like, Mike, I don't want to say they looked almost afraid to tackle him and stick their head in there, but it felt that way. And then in the third quarter, they were tackling him, and he wasn't getting those yards. And so Kirby says, you know, but he didn't have to. It's a great – he's not lying about any of this, guys. Like, this is why I absolutely love Kirby. He's not fronting on, well, we could have done this. He's running around us. We're not setting the edge, and he's making plays.
It seemed like in the second half – now, again, we talked about this. Part of this coincided with Carson Beck getting hot, and all of a sudden you're rolling. We talked earlier, there was some stuff that made some rounds today on social media. Joel Klatt, who you see on the Fox football broadcast, basically said, I don't think anyone could deny that Alabama was shook.
Yeah.
Were they really?
No,
they came
so.
Right back over the top. If it's a poker game, they just came right back over the top. And oh, by the way, I'm gonna throw it to Ryan Williams, and he's gonna go do some stuff that you can't stop, which is exactly what happened. I do think that yes, they set the edge. You know, as far, you know, I know you contain the quarterback. Set the, either way, Milrow couldn't do some of the things he wanted to do. They wanted to do in the first half. You know, I go back. I'm looking more at the play-by-play earlier. I went back to the second possession. You know, 27-yard run for ETN, and then they throw it again.
Hmm.
So just. And this is the old argument for Bobo. Sometimes it always, you know the argument, run the damn ball. This was one of those games where I hate to revisit that old chestnut, but run the damn ball. Don't play their game at that point. It seemed like you let the momentum just spiral out of control.
Let's hear Kirby talk about watching the film. What did he see from his players on film?
You try to show them on tape and explain where we went wrong. You check your quality control of how much did we rep that versus that look, did we do it enough that we can actually say they should have gotten it right? Because if you do everything once and you only get one look at it, which that's not what anybody does, that's not enough. But if you do everything 10, 20 times, you can't do as much.
All right.
He's talking about some of those looks they showed earlier.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And again, credit to Kirby and Company, man. They adjusted.
Right. I mean, it got better, but it's, you know, it's everything you and I think a lot of dog fans were talking about. The slow starts that goes all the way back to the Clemson game, and you got into a slow start in Bryant Denny, and you just dug a hole that you could not get out of. Despite all the heroics. Now, some guys say, well, Carson Beck's probably feeling – I don't know what Carson Beck's feeling. It's mixed emotions because, yes, you took the lead. And, yes, Alabama – let's show 15,000 camera angles of co-eds that are crying and freaking out that Alabama has just blown this lead. But they came right back.
No.
And they got it done.
They did. Let's hear from Carson Beck. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is our dog report. Beck said he made mistakes, but listen to this.
I think it was a challenging thing. I think we just made mistakes. That was all it was. We had some, you know, busts and certain concepts, and we didn't run the right things. And, you know, just it is what it is. It's part of the game. And then they stopped us whenever we, you know, needed to convert. And, you know, that's football.
I think he's leaving out a big part of what happened. Your decision making. Am I throwing the football when my guy is in coverage or am I not? Am I throwing the football, Mike, when you see the replay back? You may not see it in real time, but now at home, you get a chance to see all these different angles and you're going, where's he throwing the football? There's two guys behind him, there's a guy in front. Like, where are you trying to deliver this football? Decision making matters. Now, if you got a guy like Ryan Williams, okay, that you can just throw it out there and he's going to find a way to make the play, that's a different deal. Most teams don't have that guy. You got Travis Hunter, that's what Shador does a lot of times. I don't know if Georgia has that, Mike. And so his decision-making has to be better.
Well, we said this, you know, yesterday. I mean, you got a 17-year-old kid, a true freshman, who's better than everything. Call it what it is. You're better than every wide receiver Georgia rolled out in that game.
Yep.
Now, those Georgia receivers did eventually respond. And guys, I'm just telling it like it is. Arian Smith. There's also a huge drop early in that game.
There was.
You know, there's
where he hit him in the hands.
Where you can't put that on Beck. You got to make that play. And that maybe changes some of the momentum and gets you back on schedule. So, look, it doesn't define you. Lose to Texas, your road to the college football playoff now goes on the road. Real quick, they're going to meet this week. Tony Petitti from the SEC and Greg Sankey. Basically,
join us and we shall rule the universe as father and son.
Basically, the SEC and the Big Ten saying they're going to have some arrangement where we want 8 of the 12 bids for the college football playoff.
That's a power play, is it not?
And they can do it because they got the juice.
All right, we're coming back. A star in the National Football League has officially requested a trade. Who is it? We'll tell you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. See, all offseason he was trying to play nice guy. He was trying to be a nice guy. Oh, I don't want to go anywhere. Oh, and he's doing these interviews with his former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. The news today now is that Davante Adams, Raiders star wide receiver, has informed the team, Mike, I want out. He prefers to be traded. There is nothing imminent that's going to happen between now, probably in the next few weeks. We know the trade deadline in the NFL is weird. You know, guys get traded, and how much of an impact do you have? But, Mike, you know, we already got our people. Well, the Falcons going to go after this guy, Davante Adams?
Well, you and I were just talking. Can I tell you what we said off the air to
you
the
can.
People on the air?
You can.
I trade Pitts and package something. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could do this. I mean, I know we still need some tight ends in the room, but I'd love to get an explosive wide receiver in here. Now, we've debated what's up with Kirk Cousins. Wes and I and you and Raf talking about it. Wes thinks that the argument about Kirk Cousins not being 100% is not the argument. He thinks this is as good as he's going to be.
Mm.
So hopefully there'll be some more room for improvement as he gets into the rhythm here. But you're telling me I don't know what a Zach Robinson offense looks like. I know right now it's a 23rd, you know, worst offense as far as, you know, putting points on the board
sure.
in the NFL. We need some explosive plays. I like Mooney, but, I mean, this was the argument. A lot of outsiders, I mean, outside Atlanta looking at this team said, is that wide receiver room truly elite? You know, with Drake London and Mooney and Ray-Ray, obviously we lost one guy to injury.
I think the question marks about the guys that hadn't been as productive over the last few years, like Darnell Mooney, was fair. But I also think if you can find ways to – listen – if you can find ways to improve your team, listen, there's a price to paying, you know, and going out and getting these guys, right? Davante Adams was one of the first guys. I think he was making $28 million, and people lost their mind. Now these wide receivers are 35. Justin Jefferson's 35, 36. That's just the price of doing business. This dude can still play. And so if you ask me right now, you know, would the Falcons be interested, I think as a general manager and Terry Fontenot to maximize, Mike, these opportunities, you got to be interested in all this stuff. Doesn't mean you make it happen, but to like ignore it and turn your nose up and like be like, oh, I would never call. You better call.
Davante Adams does have an opt-out in his deal that would only cost you, $15 million against the cap. And if you did want to, you know, a short-term or you're thinking long-term and he's going to want to restructure a new deal like Tariq Hill would do, that's an option for you. A number of teams out there. Obviously, the Jets are the first one to come to mind, but they got to get Hassan Reddick. So here's the thing. You talk about a team. I'd call the Jets right now and get Hassan Reddick opposite what we've, because I'm no more of this conversation about Ebiketie and everybody else evolving and Lorenzo Carter. We don't get the quarterback on the ground. We've got defensive pass rush. It's not the highest thing on our priority list, but later in the year, we're going to need more of this. But imagine Hassan Reddick opposite Matthew Judon.
You going to pay him?
But no, that's just it. I mean, does Hassan Reddick just want to stick it to the Jets and get the hell out of there, then take his chances and find someplace else? That's the problem. He doesn't have any leverage. That's why he's just sitting here. He's going to lose money. Don't know where the end game goes with that, but the Jets certainly aren't going to budge. So, meanwhile, if the Jets to take Davante Adams, they're still dealing with a headache with Hassan Reddick. Speaking of headaches at wide receiver, during the commercial break, I'm not good at math, so I went to the calculator on this. Last night, the Dolphins, if you didn't see it, brutal game against Tennessee because they got no quarterback. Skylar, you know, Thompson was out, so they had to go with Snoop, and he couldn't get the job done. He was terrible. And so it was just abysmal last night. Tariq Hill and Jalen Waddle combined for 59 yards. So if you take their contracts, the $58 million that they're earning this year,
okay,
divide that by the 17 weeks of the season.
17.
And then divide that by the 59 catches.
59.
The Dolphins paid $57,000 per yard last night for their two receivers.
And that's why you don't do that.
Think about this, $57,000 per yard for your 59 yards. And needless to say, then Tariq Hill, we knew he was going to go off at some point, finally snapped. That's it, I can't take it with these bums since Tua Tagovailoa went out.
Well, he's like, this is the best team I ever played on. No, is it? You remember that?
Well, I mean, you get back to, okay, you're going to bring Tannehill back to the scene of the crime when he was terrible in Miami before he reinvented himself in Tennessee.
I think you're forced to. You don't have any other opportunities. I mean,
Russell Wilson, but, you know, the Steelers had their first taste of trying to play catch-up with Justin Fields. Wasn't the worst thing. But, I mean, if you're the Steelers, can you maybe take a – and, by the way, if you're the Dolphins, how much later are you going to wait till you know what you got with Tua Tagovailoa as the season goes down the tank?
Yeah. Snoop's going to start against New England on Sunday.
Oof.
McDaniel just announced
There's a recipe for not watching.
Yeah, well, I agree. New England's awful. Steelers are preparing for Justin Fields to start versus the Cowboys as Russell Wilson ups his activity.
Okay. By the way, Chris, what's the odds on favorite? I mean, I mentioned the Jets. Where's Devontae Adams going to land?
Yeah, I think right now it probably would be a team that has some cap space because you're going to have to absorb at least the rest of his contract this year.
Well, Rashee Rice is out.
How about the Chiefs?
I could never see the Chiefs making or the Raiders making a Chief with their arch rival in that division.
They just paid Chris Jones and they got rid of Jarius Sneed because they didn't want to pay him. So,
right? Yeah, you're taking on some. It's too much salary.
Well, I just feel like the Raiders traditionally,
right.
You know about Al Davis's son trading in the division to give the Chiefs another chance to win a Super Bowl? That's how I'm thinking about it. It's not even from a business standpoint. You're right. I do think they need a guy like that to supplement what Rice was giving them. And obviously, Devontae's better. Okay, he's more established. He's got a bigger career. But I'm the Raiders. I can't do that in my division.
No
way.
We'll see where it goes. But I know one thing for certain: we just need more explosive plays. We spent a lot of time yesterday and today talking about Pitts. When, I mean, is this as good as it gets? Like, Jack, is this as good as it gets? No, I can't buy it. It can't be. We got a guy who's got the numbers on his career. His stats for this year should be one game for an elite tight end, not four games. You know, 100 and some odd, 8 yards, one touchdown.
They're going to get him involved Thursday, Mike.
All right, man.
Well, here's the numbers. So he was due to
look
make,
at the numbers.
He was due to make 17 this year.
Who are we talking about?
Devontae Adams.
All right.
3.8, so 4 million of that was a signing bonus. So cut 17 down to 13. So divide 13 by 4, and that's how, because you're through, divide 13 by 0.25,
okay.
Because you're through a quarter of the season, right?
Correct.
So he's already made 4 weeks worth of money. So what, about 10-ish?
Correct.
So that's how much he's going to be owed for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's prorated. Basically, what you're saying is picking up the rest of the season is not as expensive as if
and
you got
Chiefs,
it before the beginning.
By the way, have $5 million in cap space.
Yeah, I'm with you on the right. Chiefs. Here's the deal, though. Andy Reid, say what you want. He makes it work. They're going to find a way to make it work.
But you said it. The Jets, I mean, how are you going to pull that off if you're the Jets when you can't even get the Hassan Reddick thing done? You know, and I could totally see Aaron Rodgers lobbying for it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and if you're wondering, we're just talking about Devontae Adams requesting a trade.
That's per Mike Garofalo and Ian Rappaport.
By the way, I had to clarify because Mike said he'd trade Pitts. I wanted to make sure you were talking who you were talking about when you were throwing out those numbers. Because Mike was like, I trade Pitts. I was like, who are we talking about here?
I mean, look, I just don't know where we're going with this. I just, you know, we've gone round and round on it. I know a lot of the audience is confused by our tactics on offense.
Are you upset that he didn't have any catches last game?
Yeah. Three targets, no catches, and some poor route running from what I saw.
Is that what you're upset
about? You know,
about?
Really, for me, man, stats are for losers, man.
I heard you.
No, I mean, we just got to score some points here. I mean, look, we'll take a win anyway. We don't apologize, as we said yesterday. Don't apologize for a win. But what is Kyle Pitts' role in a Zach Robinson offense?
Yeah.
Well, if you're telling me that Kirk Cousins is back to being 100%.
Well, I told you guys, and I still feel this way, and it won't change until things consistently change for this offense. We have an offensive problem. We don't score enough touchdowns, and we have a Pitts problem. Those are the two things. Mm. And it goes back to me saying, and I've been saying it for 6 months, he's the most important piece, Mike, because he opens up so many other things for your offense. And when you're not doing that, we can talk about the limitations of the offense, but if you don't have that dude making the kinds of plays that he can make, teams don't have to key on him. And guess what I'm doing
that's
now?
That's a convenient narrative.
Come on, Art. Drake, I'm going to double him. I'm going to stack the box and shut Bijan down.
Right.
I mean, come on. This is what we're talking about. If 8 was performing at a higher level, what does this offense look like?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've – I mean, everything we talked about, guys – and here's the thing. When Carl and I were having these discussions all the way back to our residency at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia, it wasn't like we're sitting here – like, because I know that, you know, Art Smith would say that and maybe Terry's leaning that way. It's not a Madden game. We get that. But why did you draft a guy? You're general manager.
that hired you, drafted a guy fourth overall when you had other needs on this team, and he's not even come close to living up to that expectation. And I know some fans out there get all twitchy because all of a sudden it's, oh, Carl and Mike are bashing on Pitts. Well, whether it's Pitts' fault or the OC or the quarter, fix it. Make this guy a factor. That's all we're saying.
That's it. That's it. Make him, let him be a difference maker. And by the way, speaking of these Madden games or NBA 2K, which I play all this stuff, what do you do on those games? You get the ball
into
to the
playmaker.
That's it.
What is Michael Irvin? You got to have a playmaker.
That's what you do. It is. I mean, this is no different.
Hey, Justin Persley with the tweet of the day so far. You can always contribute at Put 'em Up, C Dukes.
Please.
And at Mike Bell, ATL. Our man JP says, Jared Goff has now currently as many touchdown catches as Kyle Pitts.
Oh, don't do that. He did catch one last night.
Hey,
that's,
man.
That's not
And it
right.
was more than a Philly special. It was a Motown downtown special.
And not for nothing either, as we've been talking about numbers this whole segment.
Numbers.
Making $11 million this year. So.
Yep. Oh, that's the fifth-year option.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
All right. Mike Bell, what do we got coming up in Guy
Hey,
Talk?
Man. As Carl said, it's, you know, usually when celebrities and very famous people in the world of sports entertainment go, they go in threes. Like, kind of going in fours. We'll get into some of the names. Talk about Pete Rose's legacy, because Carl covered Major League Baseball for many, many years. Knows some of these writers. But I tell you, I felt a certain way about Pete until that HBO documentary came out this year. Kind of changed my perception. We'll get into some of that. And a politician takes a photo with his beautiful family in lieu of the election. But it's not his beautiful family. Oh. Details to follow. Way to play is play. Hey, man, short turnaround, guys, as we get ready for the Bucks. That's why I was joking around yesterday, Carl. All those shots we did on Sunday, we get right back on that horse in Section 342 for the Buccaneers on TNF. We'll be over there at Signia. Return to the scene of the crime. Great spot. We talked about it.
It is.
That the bar called The Nest on 4, overlooking Mercedes-Benz and the Home Depot backyard. That's where Carl and I will be on a very special two-hour edition on Thursday. And then we'll get right back into character.
You sound like Casey Kasem, yes.
Our next dedication comes to us from my girl. Never mind. Hey, we were just talking off the air. When I was a kid, and I'm sure it was the same for folks here at Fulton County Stadium in the old days, when the Big Red Machine came into town, it was like, man, comparable to like what Steph Curry's like at the Hawks, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
When LeBron comes to town, it's like the circus is in town. It's just, it's amped up, it's ramped up. Same thing goes for those great Dodger teams when I was a kid. Reason I mention it is I got to see Pete Rose play maybe about a dozen times as a kid, playing for the Reds, the Expos, and the Phillies. And it was always just epic. And every dad and every son or every mom and every daughter would go, that's the way you want to play. Like Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, right?
That's right? It's true.
And then, you know, that was the gold standard. And then later on, as we learn more about the guy, like we understand our stars are fallible. It's just Pete, as he passed away, by now most people know, we got the news after the show yesterday, Carl. I've always felt, yeah, he had paid his penance for the Hall of Fame. Then you and I talked about it when that documentary came out this summer on HBO, Charlie Hustle. There's a little bit of stuff that's, I don't know, underlyingly creepy, and maybe he needed to, I don't know, like, I'm not telling somebody's got to come clean, but do you think if Peter just said, look, hey, guys, I got a disease, I'm a degenerate gambler, throws himself on the mercy of baseball and the public, he'd be in already, wouldn't he?
I think so. It's the biggest, I think, regret for Pete. I said this to my wife last night when we were sitting there and got the word, and she knows I have a bunch of memorabilia, baseball memorabilia over the years. And she said, do you have a Pete Rose bat? And I said, yeah, but baby, a lot of people do. Because that's how Pete made his living, is signing a lot of stuff. But Mike, a guy that had 4,256 career hits, the all-time hits leader, it's not even close, by the way.
Right.
He was so damn good. And I think because we're all flawed, we just are, that now in death, unfortunately, he's going to get what he wanted in life. Which is, I think, Mike, he's going to get in. I think it's going to happen. And, you know, we all kind of felt like at some point, whenever Pete passed away, his accomplishments were, they speak for themselves. So, right. To die at age 83, Mike just said it, and I talked about this. I think it was the day I got sick, we were up at Flower Branch.
Right.
And I went home, and I wasn't feeling well, and tummy issues or whatever. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm not doing anything. And literally, I just had the TV on, and this documentary comes on, and it's Pete Rose. I think it's five parts. And I laid there literally from the time I got home that mid-afternoon until that evening, Mike, watching this entire thing. Some of it I knew. Some of it I did not. It was so fascinating. But yes, to answer your question, if he would have done that, and I'm saying this because I spoke to writers all across baseball, and this is going back 20 years now, where it was, I'll never vote him in. And now you talk to those same guys, their opinion has changed.
Right. So again, we all know there was the life before. But if you're just, if it is what it is. I mean, I think America, you come clean, you're going to get the shot. It's just the way he just kind of stonewalled and played hardball. And there's some other things in the biography that are very unseemly about a relationship with an underage girl. I'm not going to discuss all that here. But it's, if you watch the doc on HBO, it's definitely worth the view. And now he'll be in. But everyone does say it's the one rule, which kind of now people kind of go, what? With all the gambling associations and professional sports, that, you know, it's kind of like so hypocritical. But it was the rule, and everyone knows the rule in baseball. We talked yesterday at length about Dikembe Mutombo. For guys who missed that, his legacy is certainly secure as a humanitarian and just a beloved figure here in Metro Atlanta, everywhere else where his paths in the NBA crossed. And then also, John Amos, we talked about earlier today, tremendous character actor who, again, established himself, as you said, Carl, a trailblazer on a sitcom back in the day of Good Times with the Norman Lear production. That's the reaction when they find out he's died working on the Alaska Pipeline. I still remember watching that as a kid.
Well, and listen, I'm just telling you right now, black folks were crying around the country. Like, that was a big deal. I'm telling you. Like, they just, he died in this TV series because the series reflected America.
It was a telegram. They got a telegram that he passed away.
Correct. And middle class folks, Mike, trying to work their way up, hardworking folks. The point is, that's how connected culturally that show was at that particular time. But yeah, man, I John Amos, I didn't know who he was. I just remember, I'm itty bitty.
Right.
Roots comes on. Roots, I think it was ABC. I don't even remember.
It was ABC, John. Yep.
And I just remember my parents making a big deal of it. And then as I got older years later, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I know. I understand. But I didn't know that was John Amos. I always knew John Amos as Good Times. I had no idea.
Kunta Kinte.
Yeah, because that was before my time. Long story short, though, great actor, man. And you said it. Showed his chops in playing a role in McDowell's that I don't think a lot of people thought he could pull off.
Poor John Amos. They killed him off on Good Times. They killed him off on the West Wing.
They did.
He was the admiral. He got blown up in that one, too.
That's right.
But anyway, so rest in peace there. And then, really cool guy. Not everybody's into country, but this guy, he transcended country music. It's Kris Kristofferson.
Big.
You know, outlaw country. Guy was a tremendous actor. Guy was just cool. The voice is just, I mean, nobody sounds
incredible.
Like that.
Incredible.
And the guy was a helicopter pilot. He was a Rhodes Scholar. His life is amazing. You know, he was a Rhodes Scholar over in England. Gets back, his family, he's in the Army, helicopter pilot. When he's trying to make his bones in Nashville as a singer, a songwriter, he was basically moonlighting, go down to Louisiana, be flying guys over to oil rigs. That was his job. It's pretty amazing stuff. But anyway, years ago.
He died in Maui, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, that was where he lived. Not bad.
And then kind of, you know, was rediscovered by another generation in Blade and other movies. But yeah, by the way, if you love film like me and Carl do, there's a really cool documentary on Sam Peckinpah, who, again, if you don't know, tremendous director back in the 60s and 70s, ultra-violent stuff. He kind of started that genre. Quentin Tarantino's a huge fan. There's a documentary that Kris Kristofferson narrates, which I think you'll really dig. It's really cool. All right, man, on to some more fun stuff. It's an election year, brother. So what do you got to do if you're running for election, especially if you're running for Congress?
Well, you gotta shake hands. You got to kiss babies.
Right on, baby. And you got to have that obligatory shot of you and your happy half, your family, the wife and kids.
Everybody wants to see it.
Right on. Well, there's a congressional candidate running for office in Virginia named Derek Anderson. On the resume, sounds about right. A former Army Green Beret running for an open seat in Virginia's 7th District. He posts a campaign video shot of him beaming alongside a woman and three girls. And there's another photo of him at a table. I mean, I presume that's your wife and lovely family of your three kids.
Yeah.
Wow. It's not.
Wow.
Nope. He only recently got engaged and not to the woman in the photos. He lives alone with his dog. Nothing wrong with that. But again, the photo went viral. And people say when you take a picture and it looks like, you know, you're the happy father with the three kids, otherwise it's kind of weird. Isn't it?
It is weird.
And it's certainly not truth in advertising.
Well, Mike, why would you do this? Like, who does this? What was he thinking?
Presumably, a guy's going to lose the run in the 7th Congressional District.
They got to find that out. You know that, right? Like, somebody's going to be like, oh, I know that lady. And she's not married to him.
Yeah, that's weird.
So I guess somebody said in this campaign, we got to get something out there. Like, it's kind of funny. We have friends that are in pro and college football, and there's kind of the look you have to have for the sports information booklet, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, here's Coach so-and-so with his loving kids. You and I have a couple of friends that are single, you know? So they're not going to basically see.
hey, you know, here's Coach Smith with his loving wife and his daughters are going off to college, and here's Coach so-and-so who spends his time in strip clubs.
Yes.
It's just not the way it works. You've got to have the image you've got to have.
Yeah.
Moving on, there's another story. We were just talking about this. This is making water cooler talk, certainly all around Atlanta, certainly on the east side of town. When the hell are they going to get the smoldering fire under control at that plant over in Rockdale County?
I thought it was, and then I heard our traffic report. I'm like, is this thing still smoking? What's going on?
Apparently so. The Rockdale officials warning those to stay. They told you yesterday they shelter in place, right, Oren? And now the lawyers are getting involved and giddy up because you got folks starting lawsuits in Gwinnett, in Rockdale, in Atlanta. Well, I mean, again.
You all right, Carl?
I'm sorry.
And apparently it's not
I was
the
outside earlier.
First time they've had issues with this. I mean, if you're over in Conyers, you can see the cloud and the haze, you know, and it's been a couple of days.
Your Honor, I walked outside in my backyard and all I saw was smoke. I can hear it right now, Mike.
Yep.
15 million.
Air quality readings may dip to concerning levels. This was the story earlier. I mean, look, all I know is I got friends over there and they're saying it's funky. So somebody get more water on that thing, I guess. Get some more foam.
I saw a dude tweet. I got a tweet yesterday. It was like, it was the east side. It said, step outside of my house and it smelled like the YMCA.
Oh snap.
Yeah, and this is on the east side of Atlanta.
Well, listen, we're joking around. But, I mean, take precautions, guys.
Right. And the stuff they use to make the stuff in there is stuff I probably don't want.
No, I don't want it in my lungs.
Exactly.
No, I don't want it in my lungs.
Not trying to be alarmist, but it is a story affecting Metro Atlanta.
Let me tell you something. You don't want this.
Yes.
You need to evacuate immediately. You don't ever want to hear that.
Right.
Turn off your AC, shut your windows, close your doors.
But right.
Windows don't work anyway.
Because where you live, you got overpasses. There's a couple of train tracks. But where I live, in Coweta County, when I'm stuck at the railroad crossing, and you see the stuff going by, and like, oh, Lord, please don't ever let any of this fall off
you,
the tracks.
Yeah, because you wonder, right? Like, what's in that? What's in that?
10-mile radius has been evacuated. So either way, thoughts and prayers for the folks over there, additionally the folks up in the mountains and everybody else. But get that thing over with for crying out loud. Yeah.
Sorry. Carl?
I apologize. I was outside earlier.
I know a guy.
Break out a bigger hose. As the ladies say, break out a bigger hose. And there's your guy talk brought to you by Dukes of Bell. Hey, man, hell.
Get this thing under control.
Right.
All right, I'm sorry.
Hey, Congressman, is that your wife? He really likes to get to know his constituents. He'll just drop in for a dinner with single moms and their kids.
It's unbelievable. Hey, man, coming up, Falcon Report. We got to talk about our quarterback. We'll let you hear what he had to say. Also, Braves. We know who's pitching tonight. We know what this looks like tomorrow with Freed. Can the Braves get it done? I'm going to give you a couple of reasons to have confidence as they get ready to start this series against the Padres. It's Dukes and Bell.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.